The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
As you've been hearing, the wait is finally over for more than 61,000 students who have just received their Leaving Cert results in the last 5 minutes. This year's result sees more H1 marks achieved at higher level than compared to those in 2021, with the biggest increase seen in maths, with 18% of students receiving the top grade. An average inflated grade increase of 5.6% was given to the majority of students by the State Examinations Commission to ensure that this year's outcome matches last year's. In a moment, I'm going to be speaking to two students who have just finally found out their fate. But first, with all the details on how this year compares to next year and what's going to happen to finally get rid of the grade inflation, I'm joined by guidance counsellor and Irish Times education columnist Brian Mooney. Brian, is it a good or a bad thing that the tradition of students going in en masse to school to get handed their piece of paper is gone and they're logging on a portal?
Well, the portal had to be developed through COVID, obviously, because there was no other way of doing it. And now that the portal is in place, why would you go back to a kind of a paper system whereby everyone goes into school? But there's a whole emotional part of that where people went in, they met their fellow classmates from the last 6 years and they all went off possibly at 10:15 and celebrated. But obviously they're seeing it now, sitting in their bedrooms, you know, mum or dad is possibly there. And, you know, what do you do now? You know, have you arranged to meet your mates later this evening or whatever? It's a whole different dynamic. But look, for these students, the results are good. If you want to look at it like this, Anton, you know, the papers were corrected and everybody got their marks. And then the question arises, is yes, but how does that overall pattern compare to last year? So they had to move the marks up by 5.6% across the board. Now, it wasn't an even 5.6%. Those who did less well were moved up higher than those who did really well, because the pattern, to make it the same as last year, they had to do that. So it wasn't even across the system, right? But effectively, what we ended up with, the exact same proportion overall of H1s across all subjects as last year, H2s, H3s, H4s. So basically, the 60% of CO applicants for 2022 who are doing the Leaving Cert this year are now on an equal competitive footing to the 40% who did it in previous years.
Now, so just so that I can understand that then,
yeah,
effectively it is to say, here is the curve of results,
yes,
of last year.
Yes.
Now we overlay this year's curve and we discover, well, it dips a little in this section, it's a bit higher, so we'll just even it out to match by
correct
bringing people up and down.
Correct.
That's or up as it is, nobody went down.
Nobody went down, everything went up. But the people, the weaker ones went up higher than that, because obviously people who are really bright and are getting over 600 points, effectively to get them to where last year was, wasn't as big a task as those. That might be indicating that last year's teachers who were doing assessed grades were more generous to weaker students, possibly, because what would that student do on their best day? So obviously,
now, if you take real honest to God economic inflation, the prime way you get around is you contract the money supply, you grit your teeth and it hurts for a year or two.
That's what the UK did this year. Lots of
why
people.
Why didn't we?
Because we were trying to be fair to this year's students, because if we hadn't done
What about next year's students?
Well, there's the issue. My understanding is the Department of Education are already looking at how do we get down. They're talking, the phrase is the guide path. What is the guide path for this in getting from where we are now, which is inflated grades, back to more normal grades, or where we were when the papers were corrected initially in July? How do we get back to that place? You have to do it over a period of years, and you have to do it by incrementally changing the difficulty of the paper or making them harder again if you want to turn it the other way around. And I know that the Department of Education is already sitting down with the education partners and saying, OK, how do we do this? What kind of a timescale do we use on this? And, you know, what difficulty are we going to put in, or lack of difficulty to particular papers and subjects next year, so that effectively next year students feel they're being fairly treated?
Hang on for one tick, Brian, because I mentioned earlier on that we will be talking to two students who have literally just received their grades in the last 10 minutes. Yeah. Those two students are Alex Rowley and Danielle McFadden, and I have been in something of a flop sweat on their behalf for the past while.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I want to find out how they did. Alex, let me start with you. Are you happy?
Anton, absolutely happy. Jesus Christ. To be honest with you, I didn't expect what I've asked.
Okay, well, I will hang on for a minute. Let me check with Danielle before we go any further. Danielle, are you happy?
I'm delighted.
Great. Okay, now we can continue with a great sense of relief in the room. Alex, I'll go back to you. Why are you happy?
Well, to be honest with you, because the results I got, I didn't think I did enough work to get. But I've gotten the same amount of points as my course was worth last year. So I know the points are probably going to go up again. But nonetheless, like, I'm delighted. And to be honest with you, some of the grades I got in some of my subjects, I'm really happy about it, because some of them I did work really hard for, and I don't know, I'm really happy.
Well, congratulations. I'm delighted for it. And if by chance the grades do go up for the course, your second and third options, would you be happy with them?
My second option, definitely. My third option is a little bit out of the way, because I live in Wicklow, and of course, you know yourself with the whole accommodation crisis. So I'm not willing to go any further than Dublin, really. But look, if I, you know, I don't mind doing a PLC to get into my course in Dublin, or even working for a year to save first. So either way, to be honest today, I'm happy.
Well, congratulations. Danielle, what about you?
I'm just delighted with them. I was hoping for the results that I got, and I worked like really hard all year for them, and in fifth year, so I was just over the moon.
And does it give you, do you think, enough points to get what you want in terms of courses?
I have more than enough for my first choice. It's just kind of going to be a lottery, I guess, to get into it if the points remain the same.
What was this morning like, Danielle? Because I still have distress dreams about waiting to get a Leaving Cert result. So how difficult was the wait until 10 o'clock this morning?
Oh, it was so difficult. Like, I turned on my computer. My computer takes a while to load, so I turned it on at 9, and it still hadn't loaded by 5 to 10, and I was like, oh my God. So I had to log in on the iPad, and I was just in a puddle of sweat with my parents beside me.
And how did your parents react when they saw the results?
The cameras were straight out, and they came over with big hugs.
Good. Well, it is lovely, because that's the one bit of pressure. At least if you were in the school and you knew you had to go back to them, you'd have time to come to terms with it yourself before they immediately have sight of what it was that you got. Alex, what about you? What's the reaction from parents?
They're delighted for me, and my dad's first words were, "Jesus, could you imagine what you would have gotten if you had put in the work?"
Oh, ever the bitter word. Huh?
They're happy anyway.
To the really important stuff, then. Finally, guys, Danielle, what's the plan for the afternoon and evening?
So this afternoon, I'll probably go out for food with my extended family and kind of just relax, and then this evening out into town.
Good. Well, I hope you have sensible fun. Alex, what about you?
Well, at the moment, I'm doing last-minute packing for Electric Picnic, so I'll be heading down to Stradbally in a few minutes.
Well, bring a brolly and keep listening for the next few hours, because we'll have updates on the EP as we go. Congratulations to both of you. I am both delighted and hugely relieved. That is Alex Rowley and Danielle McFadden, both of them happy Leaving Cert result students. But they're in the kind of situation, Brian, that we were talking about, where Alex is looking, saying, it's enough points last year, but I'm praying.
Well, here's the thing. There are two factors at play here. Factor number one is that Minister Harris has created an extra 1,000 places across the system. Every additional place you create, obviously the points come down, because obviously it's more seats in the lecture theatre, and therefore more, you know, it's a queue. Keep coming, another 10 people keep coming. So effectively it's dropping down. The other side of that is popularity. So in other words, if a course there's a surge of interest, then you get people with higher points, more of them for that course, and therefore the points go up. So what we have to look at is the application pattern for each particular discipline and where extra places have been created. And of course, a third element, and I'm writing about this in the Times myself next Tuesday, is you get your first choice offer, but it's in a place where you have to travel. And you can't,
which is Alex's point about his
and
third,
then you can't get accommodation. But under the rules of the CAO, you can't go down. You can only take a course that, if you get your first choice, you've no option. Everything else is wiped. So you say, well, look, I'll take my third choice. It's my local college. Sorry, the rules of the system don't allow you to go down. So we may have a lot of people next Thursday who get offers of courses, then frantically try and find somewhere to live, find they can't. But there's no option for them to take a lower course. The system never envisaged the scenario we're now in, where we're going to have a lot of people. And again, in terms of...
I'm sorry, Brian, to cut across you, but that phrase is apt. frantically, because trying to find accommodation, it's one thing to try to find accommodation, it's another to find it in a matter of days or weeks before your course starts.
I have been doing some work over the summer with Ukrainians who were in UCD in terms of, you know, courses for their kids and all that sort of thing. And they've all had to move out, and frantic efforts have been made to house them locally and to find people who might have a room. They were the kind of rooms that people traditionally coming to college for the first time might have been using. So in emptying the student accommodation, we've probably packed out anything that was available in the local areas. And now when the students get their offers next Thursday, you know, unless they have somewhere to stay, it's going to get really, really difficult. And what may happen here, Anton, is you get a minimum entry point, say, next Thursday, the last person to be offered a place, say, call it 5:30, OK? That may well come down in the following weeks in further rounds if people say, I can't find anywhere to live. So effectively, they give up the place and then it gets reoffered to somebody
else. But they're then bunched because they can't take their
exactly,
second option.
They're bunched, yeah.
That's very tough.
Isn't it?
What's the story with the decision around place allocations? You talked about Simon Harris deciding that there would be more places made available.
He negotiated with the universities and created additional places, funded them.
But who decides what is an appropriate amount of places in any given courses across the nation? So if we say medicine, how yes. many places do we need? Who decides the overall allocation?
Well, that was actually decided by a thing called a Fotre report going back a number of years, which effectively created the postgraduate medical school down in Limerick and put an increased number. Now, this year, there's an extra 60 places have been created in medicine as a result of an agreement, about 11 in each of the undergraduate 5 colleges.
And did that report pertain exclusively to medicine or
it
all
did.
Places?
The Fotre report.
So if you take architecture or engineering or pharmaceutical.
You happen to mention medicine, and there happened to be a report specifically in relation to that. In relation to pharmaceutical, that effectively it may be because there are so many places where people can actually do placements, because effectively a lot of courses where effectively you have to go and do a professional placement. So the number of places, that's like with nursing, the number of places are determined by the number of placements in the system. How many, so it's not, and it's like dentistry, it's the number of chairs effectively for students.
So like step down out of hospital, you have these choke points that then limits the supply
correct.
That can go through.
Correct. In other words, in professions where effectively students have to actually go out and practice, it's the capacity of the practice system that determines the number of seats you can have in the lecture theatre.
Which is why therefore one assumes arts and humanities are more flexible
exactly,
in terms of what can be allocated.
Exactly, because they can just increase, find a bigger lecture theatre and away we go.
Tech saying, there is an easy answer to leaving cert points inflation. Ring fence college places available to prior year students based on previous data, and then decide, let's say arbitrarily, that 80% of places will go to the kids in that year, and on that basis, revert to the normal standard. That means no year gets thrown under the bus.
I actually wrote that 3 years ago when COVID started as to how we dealt with this situation. And I was told it was technically not possible to do within the CAO rules system, because under the CAO rules, it's actually a legal contract. So when you apply and pay your money, the rule book says this is how the system works. So I was told we couldn't do that, which is a very sensible suggestion, because the rule book doesn't allow
us to do
it.
Have we not 160 odd people in the Dáil with the capacity to change these rules?
We could have changed the rule book for the following year and done it, but that's actually the way out if you think about it. But the point is, the rule book for next year is already printed. You know, it was probably printed last May. But if we had thought about this, the way out of this eventually is to do exactly as you're saying, ring fence a proportion to what they normally get for previous years, and then have a proportion for the current year, and then the problem is solved.
We got an interesting text earlier on, because we had been speaking about the courses available from Solace and the capacity to do apprenticeships and all the rest of it.
And further education courses as well.
Indeed. And I had mentioned the German model of apprenticeship and how that's slightly. And we got a text saying, I can tell you, my sister raised 3 children going through the German system, and she regrets not sending them to Ireland. In Germany, the children are graded too early. So in primary school, if you're not achieving sufficient grades, you have no option but to go to a trade. This is far too young to decide a child's future. I put 4 through the Irish system and it's not too bad. The problem is parents see a problem with the trades, not the kids. Overall, regardless of grade inflation, regardless of the stresses that it puts the children through, how do we stack up with the Leaving Cert compared to the rest of the EU and the rest of the world?
We have a very, very high participation rate. In fact, we have a very high participation rate up to 18, 19 in terms of finishing. Huge numbers, 90% plus, which is very unique internationally. We have the highest rates in terms of graduate numbers under 40 years of age in the whole of the OECD. We are way educated higher levels than most of our OECD counterpart countries. And we have a flexibility in our system, particularly because of, say, the further education system. I would say to students this, you know, who got their Leaving Cert today, if you don't get the course you want, you can obviously always look and do the further education course, because there were 4,000 or 5,000 students who got offers 3 weeks ago. They were people who did a further education course last year. And I had a student who wanted to do commerce in UCD, didn't get commerce in UCD, got geography and environmental studies last year. After 2 or 3 days, realised absolutely not. I recommended that he go to the business PLC in Blackrock Further Education College. He did it and he got commerce.
And that was the point that Andrew Browning was making, that he has courses like pre-nursing and all the rest of it that act as a feeder. One quick question before you go, Brian. A text asking, is there any point in getting a paper checked if disappointed with what you've got?
Absolutely. You get an opportunity next Tuesday and Wednesday to apply to view your script. You can view it next Saturday and Sunday. But when you view it, what you'll see is the original mark you got before the upgrade. But if you want to see how the upgrade worked for relating to your papers, it'll be on the portal. So the portal will have the adjustments to your grades. The original paper will be what you got before they made the adjustment. And if you think that that paper should have been marked in a differently, well, obviously the adjustment will then be made after that again. So it's a bit complicated, but it's worth looking at.
Brian, as always, thank you very much. That is Brian Mooney, who is guidance counsellor and, of course, Irish Times education columnist.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.